Father, we thank you so much for this day, this time together, this unique moment in our lives, and we want to pray, Father, that you would speak your living word into our hearts and lives, that we might hear the truth that we need to live by. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we spend a lot of time in life waiting, don't we? Just waiting. So whether it's waiting for the bus, or waiting for someone to give back something we've lent to them. It's been a few years now until you got it back, kind of waiting and waiting. Maybe there's a birth of a baby. You know, you never think it's going to happen. Then suddenly the contractions start and you're away and there's no way life back to life before kids, life BC. Just speak to Theo's parents, I'll tell them, and they'll tell you how much has changed their lives having a baby. Or waiting an accident and emergency. So there I was. 2 weeks ago, it was 1 o'clock in the morning, I was fast asleep in bed, and into my room came my third daughter, Rosie, my third daughter, Rosie. I've got five, it's complicated. One boy, four girls, it's my third daughter, that's correct. My third daughter, Rosie, she knocked the door, she came into my room, she said, "Dad, that ring I bought from Primark," I said, "Yes, that ring you bought from Primark, it's stuck on my little finger," I said, "Yes, and my finger's turning purple and I can't get it off." So I took her downstairs and I got out the hacksaw and some clippers. She said, "Dad, I feel faint." I said, "I'm not surprised you feel faint." So I tried very carefully to saw it off, but it was just too stretched. That was a lovely little finger she had. Quite a responsibility. I tried to get clippers underneath it. It would not do it. So I said, "Look, can you just, how painful is it? Can you just wait till 8 o'clock tomorrow morning when Crowborough accident and emergency opens up? Will you just wait?" She said, "Dad, it's really, really hurting." So I phoned up 111 and said, "Look, what should I do? My daughter's finger's turning purple. She's got a ring stuck in it. Can I wait till 8 o'clock? She said, "No, get to the nearest accident and emergency place, and that is, tap, 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 Pembury Hospital." So off I jump in the car. Wife and kids are sleeping. I'm in the car with my daughter. She, her finger's turning different shades of purple. And I get on the road. And then the roads are closed. They're doing roadworks to Pembury. So I do this exciting journey through the countryside. And I get there, and they're ever so nice. Praise God for the NHS and for Pembury Hospital. But I get there, they take my details, we sit down, and I look at the screen, it says, waiting time, 2 hours, 59 minutes. And I'm losing the will to live. And actually, I just fell asleep on my daughter's finger. I thought, stick the pain, I'm going to sleep. Well, you'd be pleased to know her finger is fine, the ring is in the bin, and the NHS did a marvellous job in actually just an hour. They were playing with my mind. But actually, sometimes waiting makes us feel lethargic and tired and exhausted. We lack any expectancy at all, and we kind of just slump down and do nothing. Some waiting does that to us. But actually, there are some things that we know we love waiting for. It's so exciting. So take, for example, Advent. I love it. And I love counting down with a Cadbury's box. Chocolate every day. Fantastic. Waiting is so exciting for Christmas. It's wonderful as we get ready to celebrate the fact that Jesus was really born in history and he came into the world. And Advent is all about counting down to celebrate that. But also, the Bible talks about Advent, which means coming, to make us realize that Jesus said that just as he came the first time, so he will come again. Now, that might sound wacky and weird and fruity, but it's what Jesus says. The Bible said he would come, and he came. He never told a lie. He spoke the truth. He did things only God can do. And as the Son of God, he said, "I'm coming back. I am coming back." And this little series of talks through Advent is called this. 'Tis the season to be ready. Not for Christmas, but for Jesus' return. 'Tis the season to be ready. Jesus says he's coming back. And everything he said has so far has come true. He's coming back. And he says to his disciples, he says to us in our passage, what we need to do while we wait. It's there in verse 42. Two words. Keep awake. Keep awake. I didn't manage it in accident and emergency. It wasn't that exciting. But Jesus says, I'm coming back, so keep awake. Keep alert. Keep watch. Look at verse 42, what it says. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming back. Keep awake, your Lord is coming back. And for people of faith, for the Christian, his return will be a wonderful thing. It'll be an amazing thing. We'll be taken to be with him forever in the new heaven and new earth. There'll be no more dying, or crying, or tears, or sickness, or cancer. There'll be a whole new world. It'll be amazing. And on that day, evil will be judged and dealt with once and for all. It'll be a glorious day, an amazing day. It's a wonderful day made possible of rescue through Jesus' death and resurrection for us. And so Jesus says to his disciples, to us now through the Bible, wait expectantly. Keep awake. Don't fall asleep. Your Lord will come. The first thing Jesus tells us is this. In verse 36, the date is unknown. Have a look at that verse. But about that day and hour, no one knows. Neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Now you talk about the return of Jesus, you talk about the end of the world. And you kind of think of people who are a bit fruitcakey and a bit nuttery. It attracts all sorts of bonkers people who are out in the desert waiting for the end of the world. They make films about it, Armageddon, stuff like that. But actually, this is a real event that will happen. And Jesus says, don't waste your time trying to work it out. Don't waste time with your calculator. Don't do funny little puzzles in the Bible of counting the numbers and dividing them by five and trying to work out this is the day he will come back. People love doing that. Waste of time. I looked at the internet, and I banged into my internet Google search. Tell me, how many predictions are there for the return of Christ? Anything to do with the return of Jesus? It came back with over 7 million entries on this topic. Because people love it. They love it. I looked at one of the entries from a pastor called Lester Summerall. I'm sure he's a lovely man, but he got consumed with calculators, I think. He wrote with unshakable confidence about the return of Christ. And he published a little book called I Predict 1985. By 1986, he published a new book, I Predict 2000. So you see, it's a waste of time. The point is, Jesus says here, no one knows when. Neither the angels in heaven, nor him as the Son of Man, who laid aside that knowledge when he came to earth, he doesn't need to know. Only the Father knows. And I reckon if Jesus doesn't know, then we don't need to know. We don't need to worry about when it's going to be. Is it today, tomorrow? I don't know when it's going to be. The point is, don't waste your time trying to work it out. There's no code to crack. This is not the Da Vinci Code or anything like that. Now, Jesus says, basically, I'm coming back. I will come again. And actually, he says this. When it happens, it'll be a massive surprise. That's verses 37 to 41. It will be a massive surprise. He says in verse 38, he tells the story of Noah. We know the story of Noah and the great flood. He says it's going to be just like that when Jesus comes back. It'd be like in the days of Noah. The day that the floods come and the ark began to float was a day that people were shocked to see. They probably heard Noah saying what was going on, why he's building this massive ark in the desert, and they made fun of him. But actually, people carried on with life as normal. And when it happened, when the floods came, they were caught by surprise. Look at verse 38 to 39. Let me read it to you. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Son of Man is another name for Jesus. So life is ticking away. Ben and Jemima were getting married, having a lovely day. Mothers and daughters and kids were in the market. Dads and sons were doing fishing. People were in the pubs. They're having meals out, eating and drinking. And then suddenly, the flood comes and they're swept away. It took people by surprise. That's the point. Jesus says when he comes again, it will take many people by complete surprise. Can you remember where you were when you heard about 9/11? Bet you can. Bet you can. Can you remember where you were when you heard about 7/7? And it was an utter shock, wasn't it? The whole nation was in shock. We couldn't believe what we were seeing on our tellies. These towers, these planes. And the news reports coming out of buses being exploded in London and people on trains being blown up. We just could not believe our ears. We could hardly believe our eyes. It took our breath away. It was an utter shock. Complete surprise. Well, Jesus says, verse 39, this is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. It will be a complete surprise. You see, I'll go to work, one Christian and one non-Christian, and the Lord will come and you'll be separated. One will be taken, one left behind. That's the frightening pictures in verse 40 and 41. Let me read them to you. Then two will be in the field. One will be taken and one left behind. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken and one will be left. You're going on with your everyday life. Suddenly Jesus comes back and people disappear. It's going to be weird. Extraordinary. It's a disturbing, unsettling picture, I think, for those left behind. It distresses me. The whole point is this. Jesus says it's going to be a surprise, so keep awake. Keep awake. Keep awake. I am coming back. Jesus wants to encourage us here to be ready. He did that for his disciples back then. He does it for us now. These pictures of separation. One is ready, one is not. The day of the Lord's return will be a wonderful day for those who know and love the Lord. For those who don't, it'll be a terrible day. That's why we prayed for Theo this morning. He'll come to know Christ. God's love and salvation, that's what we want for him. If you're not yet ready, if you don't yet know Jesus Christ, this is the heart of the message. It's a message of salvation, a relationship with God that starts now and goes on forever through the cross. As a church family, we've got responsibility, haven't we? If we know this, to share it. Sobering stuff, shocking stuff. And while we remember that salvation belongs to the Lord, we're given the commission to go and tell and share that news. The gospel is a message of salvation for people who don't deserve it, people like us, to rescue us from hell to heaven through the cross. That is the wonder of the gospel. So Jesus says, verse 42, keep awake. Don't fall to sleep. Keep awake. You don't know when your Lord is coming. Therefore, if we know Christ, if we're Christians, how will we live? How will we live? Well, Jesus finishes off in this passage with two things for us to take home today. First is this. Be vigilant. Be vigilant. I don't know whether you've been burgled ever. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. It's not a nice experience. Remember, we just got married. We bought our first house in North London, Jenny and I. We're involved with the local church. We went to church that evening on a Sunday night. We were very laid back about everything. And actually, when we got back, we found that our house had been broken into. We went inside and this guy trashed the whole house, searching for stuff worth nicking. And I must admit, it took our breath away. I can remember the shock of when it happened. But let me tell you that if we'd have known that week people on our road had their houses burgled, we'd have done something about it. There was a guy nicking stuff. And his trademark was to drink milk from your fridge and leave it on the side to say he'd been. And he'd done it in countless houses around the neighbourhood. And if they'd have told us, we'd have been so vigilant. We'd have left the light on. We'd have had music booming out. We'd have bolted and secured the back doors. We'd have left the radio on. We'd have put a sign on the door saying, the jewellery is plastic. And the technology is secondhand. Don't waste your time. There's nothing worth nicking. He nicked my wedding ring, which I'd taken off. It's all right, it's only £21 from Ratner's, I got another one. So you got away with little. I'm not bothered. Not bothered. But actually we could put a sign saying, just don't waste your time, there's nothing of value here, just lots of plastic and rubbish. But the point is, we were not ready. We were not vigilant. It was too late and it felt horrible. That's what Jesus is saying in this parable, verse 43. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he'd have stayed awake and would not have left his house to be broken into. Be ready. Be ready. Be vigilant. Jesus is coming back. Be ready. Be prepared. And how should we be ready? How should we be prepared? Well, that's where this next parable takes us, verses 45 to 51. And we're called, if we know Christ's day, to be faithful. Be faithful. That's verses 45 to 51. In this parable of this master with slaves, servants, he goes away and leaves them with jobs to do. And there's two different responses. One is a faithful response, and one is an unfaithful response. And the question is, when Jesus comes back as God's people, will we be found being faithful or unfaithful. So easy to think, he's not come back yet, I'll just switch off, I'll carry on and forget all about it and just live my life my way. That's the character in the parable, isn't it? Verse 48, there he is, look. Verse 48, I can't see my glasses. Very kindly, I've got my glasses back today, but they're not working very well. My eyesight, I need another prescription. Verse 48. But if that wicked slave says to himself, my master is delayed, and he begins to beat his fellow slaves and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that slave will come back on that day when he does not expect him, and an hour he does not know. He will cut him into pieces and put him with the hypocrites, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It'll be terrifying for this unfaithful servant. This picture of unfaithfulness of somebody who just didn't bother. He thought he's never going to come back. Don't need to worry about it. Just lived how he wanted to live. And sometimes we can call ourselves Christians, and yet there's no evidence in our life that we are, because we're not living for Jesus. We made a decision many years ago, but it's not affecting anything. I can question whether we've even got a genuine faith. It's a frightening picture in verse 51. I don't know how many of you were there on Friday night with a tree light ceremony being put on in town. And Sue Pollard was there. If you know who she was, Heidi High. Yeah, hoody ho. I got my selfie with her, as I said I was going to do last weekend. You can pay me and I'll show you. But she's in Panto in Tunbridge Wells. And she was this ugly character from Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, their sister. And she said on the microphone, come near to me and I'll chop you up into little pieces. And my daughter Winnie was terrified. And the next day she said to me, she was only joking, wasn't she? I said, no! No, I didn't. I said, yes. It's just a joke. It's Panto. But it was terrified her. And that's the idea. This is a terrifying picture of judgment and punishment for the unfaithful servant who proves not to be a true follower of the master. He's not found faithful. No, Jesus calls to be like the other servant in the passage. Verse 45. Who then is the faithful and wise slave, servant, whom his master has put in charge of his household to give to the other slaves their allowance of food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master will find at work when he arrives. The master goes away. It's a long, long time. He comes back and he finds him faithfully doing the job he's been given of service in his home, in his household, in his kingdom. The question is, if Jesus came back today, would he be found faithful, serving, loving, honouring Jesus in our Christian lives? Or have you grown cold and drifted and are barely functioning as a believer of Christ? Advent is a chance for us to say to each other, keep awake. It comes around every year. Keep awake. For you do not know that you, when your Lord is coming. Keep awake. Be ready. You see, how will Jesus find us when he returns? Serving him faithfully, vigilantly, realizing that even though the Lord has not yet come, he will come, and we're going to keep serving him until he does or takes us home. And when he does, what a blessing that will be. We'll be taken to be with him forever. When I was growing up in my home church in Cardiff, we used to have lots of visiting preachers. There's one guy used to come, he was a bit scary, but he was a lovely guy. And he told us how we should open our curtains in the morning. And it was very helpful. Maybe you've got curtains that do this. You're kind of posh, you just do that. Or maybe you've got the ones with a little stick that goes like this. I've got these. You push them. They're very beautiful. I push them. However you open your curtains, tomorrow morning, I want you to say to yourself, it could be today. Or, it could be today. Or, it could be, whatever system you've got, blinds, shutters, it works. But it could be today. That's the point, isn't it? Jesus says, this is not cuckoo, this is not crazy. He came the first time, you can trust him. He's going to come again. Will you be ready? It could be today. It could be today. Maybe you're not there yet. You think this is bonkers, but you're kind of intrigued. Maybe you'd like to find out more. We run a course in the new year at Wetherspoons, starting on the 10th of January, 7:45 till 9, exploring the evidence for Christianity, looking at the Bible, watching some videos. Have you got the video? Thank you. Let's watch this.
7 billion of us. searching for the same thing. It's so hard to find. I've been looking for it all my life. In every place I've lived. Every face I've loved. We're all looking for it. All hoping to find it. That one thing. If you had it, would make everything right. If only I had this one thing. This one person. If only. The one thing you dream about having. The one thing you have nightmares about losing. The one thing, if you lost it, would make you feel like life wasn't worth living. Is that where happiness is? In our relationships? In our money? In the things we own? What's the best gift God could give you?
Life Explored looks at the question of what's the best gift that God could give you, and that's like an overture of the series of films. There's a little film every week that we discuss, we look what the Bible says, we hear a short talk. It's a great chance to come along, get a pint at the bar, come sit upstairs, chat. If you want to just listen, you can do that, but don't leave this morning without doing something about what you've heard. Next year at Wetherspoons in town on the 10th of January. Well, anyway, as I close, let me just pray. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Thank you, Father, for your truth. Help us, Lord, to open the curtains each day of our days here, saying it could be today. Keep us awake, alert, faithful, and vigilant. And for the glory of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
We're gonna sing. I'm gonna ask you to stay seated, and we're gonna sing a song, which.